Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. We're glad you've all made it. We always begin with a board briefing. And as is practice, everyone comes for the board briefing, even the board. And Candace Powers, our fund manager, always handles the board briefing, so we'll give some time to her for that.
Good morning. Can you hear me back there? I'm really going to be talking to these guys, but I want you to be able to. Okay, if Dave Kidder can hear me, we're good. This is, if you haven't noticed your calendar, it's June 11th. June 11th funding meeting. This is the third trimester of the CID funding season. We will now move going forward into fiscal year 2016. This is the last meeting of 2015. Even though the calendar will continue to say 2015, it will be fiscal year 2016 according to CID. The next scheduled CID meeting will be Thursday, July 2nd in Salt Lake City at the DEQ building. In your red folder, good luck. I apologize. You have a revised agenda, because there is a new agenda item, a request for special consideration. We'll discuss that later. So this is replaces the one that's in your that was sent in your packet. Also, I don't know if your review sheet, the expanded review sheet, had the last two pages on it. Mine didn't, so I copied the last two pages of the review sheet, and that's in there. You may already have it attached, but possibly not. There is a Helper City sheet, information sheet. The water project, you'll notice, and Commissioner Jarrett did, that the sewer project is not in your packet, though you made a review of that one and moved it to the priority list. The Division of Water Quality has funded that, so it's not in your packet. We will not be considering that. This morning I was advised that the water portion of Helper City has been funded by the Division of Drinking Water. So that one will not be discussed either. We will discuss and move forward the drainage, because we are the only resource that they have for that project. There's a listing in this beautiful peach color of the project that will be coming forward for the first trimester of 2016. You just want to look that over. Moving forward, you can see that we will have $34 million worth of requests. As you look and review your financials, you'll just want to consider that going forward. The RPG report, the RPP reports are in your red folder. The regional planners that are in the various AOGs, they're required to give you a report each trimester, but this is a year-end report for that. If you want to just give that a view and know what the regional planners are doing for you. And also in the packet is the handout for the application that is the special consideration for today's meeting.
Can I still make a note on that? With the resource management planning, that's not showing on here, right?
It's not on here. That's the special consideration for today. There are two projects that have requested time on today's agenda to discuss their projects with the board. They're the last two priority projects, Mount Pleasant and Castledale. There is extended information in your board package. Normally a funding package is the yellow review sheet, but there is extra information on there which would normally accompany a review package through the trimester. So we will be discussing those when we give them time on the board. for the board's consideration, lunch today is here in this building, in the same place the breakfast was. You need to sign in. Make sure you sign in to go in there so we know the difference between, I mean, some of us look like seniors, you know, just include us in the packet, but we need to sign in so that we can cover that cost. You sign in, make sure.
Some of us are seniors.
And be sure you write CIV by your name.
Yeah, write CIV by your name.
Some of us are in denial.
All right. Thank you very much. That's today's little briefing. Chairman?
Thank you, Candace. We appreciate that. And it was brief. I want to start off by thanking everyone here in Carbon County and the City of Christ for hosting us this year. Commissioner Potter took a number of us on a wonderful tour of Nine Mile Canyon yesterday, and that was very educational and enlightening. We very much enjoyed the road that we helped fund, and those of us that were there were pleased with our efforts. We also had a few who did some golfing, and I understand they managed to stay dry, so that was quite an achievement. I understand some of you that came up from the south had to endure a little bit of flooding and some foul weather, so we appreciate your perseverance there. We normally start off with some introduction. Before we get into that, I'd like to recognize Steve Farrell, our newest member. He is replacing Gaywin Snow, who had to resign his position due to overscheduling, I guess you might say. So, Mr. Farrell, welcome. We're happy to have you with us. I would also like to recognize Tamara Kohler, who's sitting with us here in the front. Mrs. Kohler is the interim director of the Housing and Community Development Division. And so we're very pleased to have her with us. She made some serious adjustments to her schedule so that she could be here with you, because she recognizes the importance of the work that this board does, and wanted to make sure that you knew that she appreciated you and was supportive of the work that you do. She was scheduled to be in Portland. She flew back sometime in the wee hours and drove down. So we appreciate her being here, and we want all of you to know that she has the full support of the entire staff of HCD, and as you get to know her, I'm sure she'll have your support as well. Generally, we do an introduction of the board members and the key staff members, and we always start on the left. So today we'll start on the right. So, Mr. Roberts, would you like to?
I'm Tom Roberts, Chief Attorney General's Office. I act as legal advisor to the board.
Gail Gardner, staff to the board.
Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Jim Madsen, Kane County Commission, representing Clyde County AOG.
Bruce Adams, Seminole County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG. Steve and I thought we were going to a cattleman's convention today, so we didn't wear a tie.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner, representing Carbon County.
Richard Ellis, State Treasurer, and I wish you to send a memo around you, too, so we can all
Good morning. My name is Keith Heaton. I'm Chairman of the Board with the Housing and Community Development Division.
Candace Powers, staff to the board.
Cameron Kohler, I wish to introduce.
Good morning, my name is Mike McKee. I'm a Yonah County Commissioner representing that county.
Claudia Jarrett, Traffic County Commissioner representing Six County AOG.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commissioner representing the Unit Basin AOG.
Hi, United from Sunny St. George representing Utah Commission.
Greg Galecki, representing Water Quality Board.
Brenda Brown, Financial Staff to the Board.
Chad West, Staff to the Board.
John Matthew, the Division of Water Quality.
Michael Grange.
Michael Grange, Division of Drinking Water.
I'm Nathan Hall, Division of Drinking Water.
I'm Bill Prater, Farm Council for the Board.
Shannon Albert, Grove Bangor.
Thank you. We appreciate everyone taking time to introduce themselves. It looks like we have a full house today. They're continuing to bring chairs in. Hopefully we all fit and you're all comfortable. Yes. Candace just handed me a private note. With the blue sedan parked out front, your lights are up. No, just kidding. All of the board members received a new binder that Candace had made with a lovely, she calls it Little Spurty. I hope that's within HR boundaries. Because they all look identical now, she also gave you a little name tag sticker that you can place on it so that someone doesn't walk off with your important notes. Was that the message you wanted to deliver?
Yes, thank you. Okay. And the mic.
Again, we are very happy to be here in Carbon County in the Tri-City. And Mayor Piccolo, thank you for your hospitality as always. Mayor Piccolo has requested just a few moments to welcome us and take care of some other things. So, Mayor Piccolo, would you like to take a moment?
Thank you. Madam Director and Mr. Chairman, members of the board, it's always a pleasure to appear before you, and certainly on behalf of the Price City Office of the Mayor, First Lady of Price, councilmen that are here with me would be Britt Davis, Lane Miller. Hope I'm not missing anybody else. We welcome you here in a building that the Community Impact Board funded, as you're well aware of. The rest of the investment that you see on the fairground, buildings that are downtown, indicate the realism of the Community Impact Board in our community, not to mention the direct benefit to Tri-City through many projects. When I served on the board, the total that the Community Impact Board had put into Utah was over $1 billion, and that's been many years ago, so I know that number is way north of that. We're grateful that you're here. I requested a little bit of time because I have something. I tried to run down Gordon Walker and give this to him, but he might be able to remember Tri-City for the rest of his life. I'd be grateful if the board would take it, and then I understand that there's a way that the board could make that available to him. So if something happens to me or someone else prior to the time he comes back, he'll receive this. This is a limited edition lamp that's been, the Cambrian lamp that's made in Wales, South Wales. It's a functioning lamp. For those of you that don't know much about mining, these types of lamps were used and currently are being used around the world to detect oxygen in the mine so that it would be safe for human capacities. They used to use a little canary packet, and when the canary would fall dead, they'd know that it was time to get out. This lamp, when it stops burning, hasn't got enough oxygen to support the fire, indicates to the miners that it's time to get out of the mine. This lamp's very special. It has an angel that's etched into the glass. It has 1,400 rays coming off of its body. Each of those rays indicate a miner's name that we are preparing to install a memorial downtown for. The angel will be part of that memorial. So there are more than 1,400 miners that died in Carbon County that we can record, that will be recorded by their names officially for history to recognize the sacrifice that's taken place in this community to produce and to extract the mineral that we've learned to enjoy through the inexpensive power and other benefits, medical, life quality benefits. So I'd be pleased if you'd take this, Candace, and make sure that Gordon gets it delivered to him on behalf of Price City.
I'll
like the board to, you want me to pass this around? We're going to dedicate that memorial in September, on the September the 7th of this year. So if you can make yourself available, it's going to be a good time. And it represents how we feel about standing on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. Again, I'm grateful to the board. Chairman Heaton asked me if I tell you a story. And if you don't laugh, you make me feel bad. I'm on a purpose with that. So. One day, Sleeping Beauty, Superman, and Pinocchio were walking down the sidewalk of the city street. they were talking, they came along the sidewalk stand that said, beauty pageant today. Sleeping Beauty turned to Superman and Pinocchio and says, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in a beauty pageant. Do you think you'd mind if I went in there and tried my luck? He said, no. She wouldn't wait for me. She said, sure. So she meandered into the beauty pageant and was there about 15 or 20 minutes and came back out smiles and happy. And Superman said, well, how'd it go? She said, I won first place. It was a cakewalk. It was wonderful. So they meandered down the street for a ways further and come across another sidewalk sign. World's Strongest Man Contest today. Superman says, I think this is all about me. I want to try this. Will you guys wait for me? Sure. So Superman went in, 15 or 20 minutes, came back out all smiles. Pinocchio said, how'd you do, Superman? He said, no doubt in my mind, I'm the strongest man in the world. I won. Ah, that's great. They meandered a few more blocks. You know what's coming, I'm sure. They meandered a few more blocks down the road, and sure enough, another sidewalk sign. World's Greatest Liar. Oh, Pinocchio was happy. He said, this is my day. This is all about me. I can do this. You guys wait for me if I go try? He said, sure. So he went in. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, several hours passed by, and Pinocchio didn't come out. Finally, after the longest wait, Pinocchio showed up and was crying. Just sobbing, tears. Superman said, what happened? He said, I lost. How could that be? He said, I don't know. Have you ever heard of a woman named Hillary Clinton?
Thank you, man.
I did enjoy your time. I'm looking forward to working with the director, Ms. Cohen. I'll be at your employment under the direction of Bowling Walker's team, and I'd like to make sure that you understand how close Gordon and I became. We had some fun together. And because of the director's vision that this board is permanent, I can assure you that when I started working on the board, we had less than $28 million a year to spend from all the program monies and all the revenue generated from mineral extraction. Today I know that more than 50% of the money that comes into the board is program money. It's from the dedication of you board members making us communities pay a little bit of interest to have the foresight of having a permanent community impact board. My hat's off to Gordon, and my shoulders are ready to put to the wheel for anything I can do to help this board. So we pledge our support to you. Hope you have a good time in Tri-City. If you haven't had a chance to visit our college campus, please do. It's growing. We've got a $16 million instructional building that's going to be dedicated shortly. If you haven't walked in our cemeteries, take a chance. There's a lot of famous people that are buried there, and some infamous ones as well. So we appreciate you being here. Hope you come back often. Before you leave town, gas up and buy a sandwich. We need the revenue. Thanks for being here.
On behalf of the board, thank you, Mayor Piccolo. We appreciate your many years of service to this board, to your community, and to the state in whole. You are a wonderful public servant and a fine example to all of us, and I, for one, appreciate your dedication as well as your sense of humor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're more of a Superman than a Pinocchio. We'll now turn our attention to the funding. I know that's why you're all here. Despite the quality of the mayor's jokes, I know there's a great applause. First of all, Candace reminds me that we need to approve the minutes from May 7th. Thank you, Candace. We'll entertain a motion at this time.
So moved.
Whoa.
I wanted to get 1 point ahead of you, Claudia.
I'll second.
I haven't come long distance, so I deserve it.
Indeed.
Yeah, my game next time.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Now the good stuff. I'll go through the first few of these for expediency. The first project, the Uinta Fire Suppression Special Service District, new fire station at Mazer. $239,365 grant. The second project, Town of Sigurd, road improvements, $1,099,200 grant. Third project, Town of Annabella, flood protection and stormwater improvements, $1,566,000 total project package with a $470,000 30-year 2.5% loan and a $1,096,000 grant. Project four is the Town of Fayette. Road improvements, phase one, $450,000 grant. Project five, Town of Circleville, Community Medical Center, $835,250 grant. Project six, Town of Circleville, road improvements including drainage, $320,000 grant. The chair will entertain a motion on those six projects at this time.
Move to approve.
Second.
The second by Jim Mattson, motion by Bruce Adams. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Project 7. We're upping the ante here a little bit. Uinta County Municipal Building Authority, Vernal Regional Airport Terminal Building, a $8,984,106 total package with a $4,493,000 30-year 2.5% loan and a $4,491,106 grant. I will entertain a motion.
I would move to
approve.
Second?
Second. Second by Bruce Adams?
Jay
Potter is the second?
You know what? Claudia's just correct me. She's correct on
you'll be over there next week.
So, I'll probably vote for it, but I'll
make the motion.
Okay, Claudia Jarrett and Jay Potter, do you?
I'll second.
Very good. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Appreciate that. Price City, there are two projects. The first project is the Desert Wave Pool Dome Replacement, $300,000 grant. The second project is the Water and Sewer System Improvements, Fort North Sewer and Fort South Water, $600,000 loan, 20 years at 2.5%. Is there a motion to approve those two projects?
I move approval. Second.
Jay Mattson is the motion. Bruce Adams is the second. Any discussion?
I actually had a question. I don't know if anybody's here from it. But, it was supposed to last 30 years, yet they've gone through five covers in 35 years. Is anybody from the mayor?
I'm catching off guard, guys.
No, that's okay. What was the question?
On the pool cover, it's supposed to last about 30 years.
No. But well, that's the life capacity from the manufacturer is between 10 and 12 years.
Okay, and that's in line with
that. And we haven't been able to find something more permanent than that. However, if we look at the past history, we've made the covers last beyond the life expectancy because of the way we have one, even from the inception of it. And I think that was 1984 or 89. First cover we had was projected to last 7 years. It lasted close to 15 years. We handle them with great care, knowing that it's a very expensive proposition for us. We've also looked at hard shell buildings, but they come back to be beyond $1.5 to $3 million to cover it, which again makes that total look affordable in the long run. So it's an expense. It's probably the single greatest recreational opportunity that Price City has to offer to our youth and our seniors as well. It's served them well. I'm a proponent to keep it open 12 months a year. We have discussed closing it as well, letting it freeze over in the winter. But that doesn't come without maintenance or equipment that's unused and those kinds of things. And so I think the very most economical way to provide that economic the recreational opportunity and quality of life is to use the product.
If I may add, Greg, as I recall the presentation, they also said the technology on the cover has improved over the years, and so that with each new cover, the life is a little bit longer with each generation to see this technological improvement.
Right.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next project, the Cabby Valley Parks and Recreation Special Service District Park Improvement Project. $400,000 total request, $200,000 30 years, 0% loan, and $200,000 grant. Is there a motion for to approve this project?
Motion approved.
Second. Greg Dalecki is the motion, and Nagi Zanotti is the second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Project 11, Roosevelt City Water Sewer and Drainage Improvements, $3,071,000 total request with a $307,000 30-year 0% loan and a $2,764,000 grant. Is there a motion to approve this project? Mike McKee, a motion. Is there a second? Ron Winterton, the second. Any conversation? Discussion? Criticism? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Project 12. Fairview City, City Hall. $400,000 total request, $150,000 30-year 0% loan, and a $250,000 grant. Chair will entertain a motion.
I would move.
Mike McKee, motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Claudia Jarrett is the second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Lucky number 13 is Helper City. Is the mayor or the representative from Helper with us today?
Yeah.
Would you like to come forward for a few minutes? The chairs are getting cold. For the record, we need you to introduce yourselves, and I don't know how loud you need to speak to get all the way up to the microphones, but loud enough so that I can hear at least.
Eric Franson, Franson Civil Engineers.
Ed Chavez, Mayor.
Gary Harwood, Councilman.
Jason Llewellyn, Councilman.
Welcome, gentlemen. It's my understanding, and first of all, congratulations on your financial arrangement with EQ. Is it my understanding then that you no longer need the funding that was put on the priority list by this board for this project?
As far as the culinary project is concerned?
The culinary water improvements at $3,150,000.
Yeah, just to clarify, the project has not been funded officially. The Finance Committee of Division of Drinking Water met and approved the project to move it on to the funding meeting, which is July 10th. And the way that board works, that is a very strong endorsement. If the Division of Drinking Water staff wants to touch on that, they're welcome to. But yes, officially we would withdraw the request for the culinary portion of the project and allow Division of Drinking Water to fund that.
Thank you, appreciate that. So number 13 is lucky. So we'll consider that withdrawn for the time being. Your second project was drainage improvements, $3,150,000 grant. Obviously that one is not withdrawn and is still on the table. Is there a motion from the board to approve that?
I'll second.
Nagi Zanotti and Jay Potter is the second. Any discussion from the board? Any questions for the mayor of the council? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you. Before the meeting, I have a question. Does Helper City really need to withdraw their entire application or just request that this is put on pending action by the
Let's do pending until that Until July 10th.
Great. We will put you on the pending list then.
Does that require a motion from the board?
Yes.
We will require a motion from the board to put that on the pending rather than funding it. Is there anyone interested in making this motion?
Put it on the pending list.
Greg Galecki, motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Steve Farrell is the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There you go.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And do you want to reiterate what sewer request for it, because it wasn't in the minutes.
Candace, will you elaborate on the sewer request, please?
The sewer had received final funding from the Division of Water Quality. So they have told, the applicant has withdrawn the sewer application. Doesn't require a board motion, but it is, for the record, the sewer project is not on the agenda because it has been funded by another funding source.
And if I could, Mr. Chairman, you know, I want to thank Helper City for working on that. They were given that direction to go back and see what other funding sources that were available for it. And, you know, to their credit, they've taken $5 million plus off from the table from the CIB. So thank you for your support.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Council.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, are we on the mouth
letters? Yes. So there's
no Mount Pleasant City, are they in attendance? Well, we're old friends at this point, but for the record, please introduce yourself.
I'm Mayor David Blackham, Treasurer Dave Austin.
Mayor, Treasurer, thank you for being here with us. I understand you've done some pencil sharpening and some things. Would you like to brief the board on where we're at?
We were informed that possibly the CIB funding would be less than able to fund all projects. And so we look for alternative sources for funding of the splash pad, of which we are located. And we respectfully request that portion be removed from our request. And so we're only asked for an amended request for $1 million and that's a loan and $1 million grant for a loan of 2.5%. It's still like that's a contributory way that we can do anything we can do to make it so it's better for the critical funding that we go to. I'm hoping you can consider our application and put that amendment, that reduction.
So the new request then is $1 million 30-year loan at 2.5% with a $1 million grant.
Yes.
Any questions from the board?
You still have the support from the Wasatch Academy and the rest of the community?
Mm-hmm. We have the support as much as we've had on anything. This is a very exciting thing for most of us. We've not had it for over 30 years. We do have a support. That's the reason they ever brought it. We thought we'd never came. But with working together over the high school, we are really anxious to see them.
Remind us again, Mayor, who's going to be in charge of the operation of the pool application?
The city. Our city recreation department. Our recreation department heads Stephanie Blaine.
So this will be the kind of like annual fees, membership sold to the community based on the absolute.
I know Mr. Ellis was very concerned about the operation management of our budget. And I want to tell you what we've done is I didn't make mention of this. We are considered in the north south part of San Pete County kind of a hub for that area. And unfortunately, I didn't make mention of this, but our general fund budget, I don't know how it compares to other cities, but 25% of our budget is for public safety. That's a huge amount compared to many cities. And we're committed to that because unfortunately, we have a situation where a lot of the mischief in northern New Canada happens in our town. Many of the major crimes are tied to drug use, and we really believe that the 5% you may mention for our budget would have a commensurate reduction in the budget or public safety. and that we're really committed to think of this kind of recreational opportunity for our youth and for those, for our seniors and all, as I mentioned, by price, a pool would be a great thing to happen to hopefully reduce our budget on this proportion. I brought my treasurer to have any questions with respect to our budget and our history this year. And we just passed our revised budget, and we had an excess of $70,000, excluding those GNC road funds that we were able to sock away in the reserve this year, which is approximately how much it would take to cover the deficiency with respect to the studies that BYU team put together. I don't know if that would make you feel a little more comfortable with our particular reserve situation.
I'm never comfortable with these, but Mayor, I'm
but that's it.
In addition, sir, I had spoken with the headmaster at Wasatch, and their commitment to the community and wanting to be involved as far as, you know, maintenance and operation and additional. I had spoken with him, he had spoken to members of their board that they're, although he had committed $30,000 a year, he was very comfortable that the Wasatch would be able to contribute more on a regular basis.
We feel very comfortable we can proceed without really comfortable or adding any additional taxes on our version of our committee.
Mayor, I very much appreciate that you took the splash pad out and you're trying to make this work. I understand the passion that you and the council have for this project. I understand the Wasatch Academy supports and desire to have this. I was not a part of the discussion previously, which was quite lengthy and in-depth, so just to add my two cents worth, I concur with many of the sentiments that were expressed by this board previously that the operations and maintenance on these type of things is a tremendous burden to the citizens and future citizens of the community. And it, you know, no matter how you slice it, it's fun and games, which is the definition of recreation. You know, so I just want to, if I dare use the word admonish, you know, that my review of it and looking at the study that was done by BYU is that this is putting the community out there a little bit for something that is a want and not a need, and it is difficult sometimes to see what needs may be down the road. If these windows were open, you see the storm clouds brewing to the south, which could result in some flash flooding. You know, if that happens in your community, then you're in a bad way. Water can be friend or foe. Nonetheless, I just wanted to make that known that the reservations that this board has are legitimate, and I know that you've taken those seriously. And, are there any other questions from the board at this point? Is there a motion to approve Mount Pleasant at $1 million 30-year, 2.5% loan, and $1 million grant for a total of $2 million?
I like the motion.
Greg Galecki and
Nagy
Zanotti. By a show of hands, all those in favor? Those opposed? Congratulations.
And your counsel.
Our attorney, Tom Roberts, came over and visited with Bill, Ron, and myself relative to two previous motions, one for Roosevelt City and one for Fairview City, in that we were under the understanding we should motion, but he's also recommending that we not as well second motions because we are county commissioners and these entities are in our county. So,
even though they're not county projects?
Yes. I mean, that's part, not so much of the necessarily strict letter of the law, but the culture of this board is that where there is such a close connection, the board member might be able to participate, but not be an active movement or a second with regards to those types of motions.
You know, if I might, and I'm fine with that today, but I'd like to visit that, you know, during that retreat. because several of us are on this board, directly representing, for example, the two highest mineral producing counties. By legislation, that's why we are here. It would seem strange to be here and not be able to support projects in our area.
We can save the discussion for the retreat. I mean, that's why the board has recognized, and my office recognizes, that there's a certain inherent conflict because the legislature has put individuals on this board who represent entities that could be applicants. And they surely did not intend that by putting a member of the Uinta County Commission on, that all of Uinta County would be barred from getting any projects from this board. So therefore, a different type of rule with regard to some of the ethical concerns. The Ethics Act strictly applies to the relation mostly between the public and private duties of individuals. So where you are an officer of the Uinta County, put it in subdivision, put it in corporation, it raises those same types of issues because of benefiting the organizations you head up and lead. And so it's really been adopted more just as a cultural item that you don't participate in terms of making a motion or seconding because that appears to be too much out front. There are times, not the times when you are making a presentation where you are not voted at all. So there are three levels the board's kind of adopted as when they do business.
And I guess just for the record, the point that I would simply make on that is I do believe the legislature anticipated, although, to be able to do that, otherwise what's the point of being here? The second point that I would make to that, I think, simply is, and I don't have any problem with the culture of not making the motion in a second, but I do struggle if we're saying we can't vote on this project. And I do believe that, I don't believe that's in the statute.
They can vote, though. They cannot motion and second, but they can vote.
That's the way the board is basically operated on those types of things where it's not the direct entity that they represent. If you went to county, were the applicant, Mr. McKee would probably be making a presentation, and he would not be making any motions, he would not be voting under those circumstances where he is making the presentation representing the actual applicant. So like I said, there's three types of areas where you are the official or the applicant. You can make the presentation, but you don't have to leave the room. Other boards, if it were a private interest that you have, the board may recall that one of the board members of the board used to be, one of the former board members was an engineer, still did a lot of projects. And following the way other boards treat that, since they are seek to get private gain from that, they exclude themselves completely from consideration, will actually leave the room, so they won't be part of any discussion involving those types of projects. But so that's sort of different aspects. But so they only don't vote when they are actually sitting on the applicant or an officer for the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Appreciate that clarification. Let's revisit that. At this point, let's continue with the agenda and we'll return to that discussion. The fine folks from Castledale are standing on pins and needles. So if they would like to come forward at this time,
you want to have someone else do.
Can we substitute the motion now? Because that's the information.
Did we not finish their view?
With that, I take
the motion. We're going to finish Mount Pleasant. We're going to follow the agenda and go on to Castledale, and then we'll return to Project 1011 that we're approved. Okay? Good enough? Thank you. Gentlemen? Good to see you again. Please introduce yourself.
I am Bradley Giles, a council member from Castledale City.
Eric Johnson, Bond Council.
Jacob Sharp, manager of Castle Valley Special Service District.
Danny Van Wagner, mayor of Castle Valley.
And we are asking that, that this board to reconsider our application as we have amended it. In a letter that we sent to the CIB on May 4th, we listed what we have done to change the project. We have eliminated $1.26 million from the project. All the entities involved, that was the elimination of the basement, which we were going to use for permanent record storage. And each entity has made other arrangements for those permanent record storage facilities. And that's a reduction of 28% in the project. And what we would request is that reconsider this project with a revised funding package totaling $3,220,000 with a $1,619,000 30-year 2.5% loan and a $1,619,000 grant, which is basically a 50-50 funding package loan versus grant. And,
The board approved, or did not approve, but sent to the priority list approximately 12% grant, if I'm doing my math anywhere near correct. Okay, 11.5, thank you. Good to have the state treasurer on your right hand. And now when you're asking for 50-50, I'm a little...
With the reduction of the 28%, removing the $1.2 million, the funding package that was approved by this board, neither entity, none of the three entities could afford that package. And so we went back to suggesting of the board to sharpen our pencils, found out where we could cut, and resubmit a funding package that would work financially for the entities involved. And
for the applicant entities, not necessarily for the funding entities.
Excuse me, yes. I'm sorry. The applicant entities. With the idea of multiple agencies, putting all of the agencies that work together under the same roof, using common facilities so that we don't all have to go to different buildings.
Right.
That's our request at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a comment?
Well, I spoke in favor of the project before, and I'm going to speak in favor of it again. We've had experience in San Juan County where a number of agencies came together to fund a community center, a senior center for the city and the county in a similar type of arrangement. What they're asking today, in my opinion, is they trimmed the project, $1,300,000 out of the project, by getting rid of the basement. This applicant has skin in the game. They're asking for a 50% loan and a 50% grant. This is something that, since I've been on the board, has been acceptable to the board. I know that there are some concerns about whether or not the facility might be a little bit of an overkill or a little bit too much. I think that the board ought to consider the fact that they're not asking for something unreasonable as far as funding is concerned. We have funded 50% loan and 50% grant when the applicant has skin in the game on a number of occasions. So I would encourage the board to reconsider this and would be willing to make a motion for approval when you're ready, Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Commissioner,
I would second the motion.
Any further discussion? In which case, we have a motion by,
yes,
Commissioner Adams and a second by Commissioner McKee to fund Castle Del City, New City Hall, and we'll just call it that, at $1,619,000 loan at 30 years, 2.5%, and $1,619,000 grant. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
So the nays are... Did you get that? Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda is a request for special consideration. You look lonely, Mr. Hanson.
I know.
In your
red
message.
Does everyone have the information before them?
Yes.
Mr. Hanson, would you like to introduce yourself to the board?
My name is Mike Hanson. I am with the Rural Planning Group.
Please proceed.
If you're not familiar already, the legislature passed a bill, House Bill 323, that requires all counties to conduct what's called County Resource Management Planning, CRMP. And the idea behind it is you have federal plans that don't align with local plans. And so what the idea behind the bill is sharpen the local plans because you can't control the federal plans. Counties want to do this. Counties don't often have the resources to do it. So the legislature came and not only required it, but they appropriated some funds to it. Our office has been involved in this since it was a boxcar bill. And actually in the early draft of this bill, it was $5 million that the counties worked out what they think that this would cost the county. Through the legislative process, that $5 million was not approved, but $1.5 was. And through all the hearings and the comments and so forth, it was assumed that the county would find support through the community impact bill for some of that remainder. And in February, the different associations of government, all seven of them, applied to the CIB for funding. The idea was they were trying to match the pattern of $50,000 per county. That's what the legislature is defined as, and so the AOGs followed suit. As we reviewed it and talked to a number of counties and so forth, there's a couple of concerns with that. One, namely that it is very regimented funding. When you say you, county, whatever the county is, get $50,000 and that's it, it's different for each county. And then there was also a concern about the urban counties. That would be putting the Community Impact Board putting the same amount of money into Salt Lake County that they're putting into San Juan. And when you look at where the temperature and the concern is for the federal government attention with planning, it's definitely not the same. And so what we thought was, you know, let's come back. We've talked to the Association of Governments, we've talked to all counties. Those applications were then withdrawn last month, recently. And we, the Rural Planning Group, the division, are making this a substitute to those applications. Any questions on the history so far? So the request we're trying to make is the bulletin. It should be in your packet. The first one is we're asking for that same $1.5 million that was requested by the AOGs and is put into a fund that is restricted specifically to the CRMP activity. We want the funds to be identified as local match to the state appropriation that was made, and that the reimbursement request would follow traditional CIB rule. There's one aspect that we would say is different than the AOG applications. It's something we've been playing with for some time, and that's that individual counties are not restricted to 50,000 each. We haven't written specific, we need this to pass first, but we have not put together very specific guidelines. We want to work with the state's public lands office. They've got the state appropriation so that our funds are, they match each other. So we haven't done those yet. But there's a couple of reasons why we think that we should take the 50,000 limit off of counties. One, not all counties, as I said earlier, not all counties have the same concerns. Some counties are going to need more and some will need less. Not all counties have the same perspective on this initiative. Though they are, it's a shall in state statute, not all counties are as excited about this. And so we think, well, if the funds were flexible, those that really want to get on it and they want to do a good job, come talk to us and we'll help you do a good job. And those that aren't going to do it, we're not going to force you to do it. Don't write that down. We've also talked to some counties that have some concerns that they probably need to work out internally on whether or not these funds could be used at all in their county. So it does not force any county to do anything. And there's no opportunity cost for a county that doesn't come and draw these funds in. This does not preclude or require AOG involvement. We know staff are constrained throughout rural Utah, but it's also true for the AOGs. So if an AOG wants to be a champion for their region and they want to be the ones that lead, great. They have every opportunity to do that. Should they be underwater and the county want to do their own thing, whatever, that provides that same flexibility. The Rural Planning Group has been and will continue to be very involved in this initiative. This is the biggest thing to hit planning at the county level in a decade. We want to make sure that we stay involved with that, so we will have a very close perspective on these reimbursement requests. And therefore, we are asking, and I should also say, with the funds that were appropriated to the state, they still don't have a definitive opinion on this, but as I read the legislation, it says that those funds that the legislature appropriated for counties are available when counties are done with the plan and when the public land office approves and agrees that they're done. That statutorily could be 2017, and that is a difficult thing for counties. They want to get going on this. Those that want to really champion cause, they want to get going.
Is it my understanding, Mr. Hansen, that several counties, many counties, are already moving forward on this?
Some are going, it's different for each county. Some are sitting and waiting, and they don't like that because the legislation does require that a county planning commission has to have moved their recommendation to the county council by this time next year. So they have 12 months to do an extremely extensive planning initiative. And that council then has 6 months at the most to approve it. That said, some counties are just saying, but I don't have any staff, I don't have any resources, I can't move forward. And yet the time, every week it goes by, we get closer to that deadline.
Thank you.
That leads to my question, is that the funding, how is it spent? Is it your staff using FEK?
Through the division, that's why the guidelines aren't written yet. If the state is able to have their funds, if they're able to get permission or something to use their funds sooner, then a traditional CIB project would be, you use your local match first, and then when you've expended that, then come talk to us for whatever you got from CIB. If that's not available, and I'm not sure how it could be, honestly, I'm not wanting to speak for this department, but. Yeah, we think that it would just come, requests would come to the division, and we would review them. We already have MOUs signed up on that, but yeah, we would oversee them.
And then do you see this as both the state bill or the Senate bill, anyways, the House bill, okay, and both the House and this, I mean, is this a one-time funding?
Yes. I would suggest that we just match the state funding right now. In every project, you have three legs of the stool. You have a quality, and you have time, and you have cost. Well, the statute took care of time. Time is not flexible on this one. You can never really have all three. You can have two. So if time is still fixed, and it looks like cost, the legislative funds were fixed. My concern as a planner is counties would say, well, I've got to turn in something. And so you give it to an intern, and they'll just slap something out, and they say, well, I did it. And it therefore is a complete waste of time, and actually could help counties would end up stepping backwards in their interest with the federal plan. So
we thought, you know, if these funds came now, it helps cost that side, so maybe you can give them all the others.
Commissioner Keith. Thank you. This is a little different angle than what I was aware of. First of all, to your group, I mean, I have been very impressed with you and your whole team, and we're going to be seeing some things, I think, in the CIB. So, and I think the expertise that your team brings is outstanding. Having said that, I do have some concern, and let me just tell you what it is. With the greatest intent that the legislature had, I think it's a clumsily written bill, but it's still the law. Because part of the problem we have is, and I hope everybody understands this, but the law says each county will put together a plan. And then they authorize $50,000 per county. But it's a complete resource management plan. Obviously, $50,000 to do what the legislature is anticipating isn't going to begin to do that. I think initially the legislature, I believe, was thinking, well, CIB fund the other $50,000 to each of the counties. Problem is, if CIB funded it to the counties, then we end up with the pills offset. And so then how do we handle that? I think it was anticipated going to the AOGs, and I think, Tom, you felt like that would be, did you feel like that was appropriate use of mineral waste money if it went to AOGs rather than to county? Without a pill offset.
Yeah, and planning is why it was an appropriate project for this body to fund, and if you are funding planning to the AOGs like you do now, that does not result in a county reduction in the
So I was on the small little group that the state had put together, and I know there's a lot of discussion. I guess there's the question that I would have as we were having dialogue up there. I don't question for a minute the expertise that you and your team bring to this. My question would be with all the counties across the state, the 29 counties, I think some of us, what we were looking at is how does one entity do that all together and still leave the flexibility. I think some of us didn't want to have just a kind of a template that just, you know, one size kind of fits all kind of thing that sets on the shelf. We wanted that flexibility. That's the concern that I have if it's just coming out of your group. How do you even begin to do this? And the legislature says this is to be done by July.
Right. Mike, why do you think about that? A point of order, Gail and Richard pointed out, is that this is a special consideration, and we failed to move to listen to what you said.
Okay.
So we need to rewind the tape.
The thing, yeah.
Those of you of a certain age know that you can rewind the tape. And so you haven't heard any of this, and Mike, you'll have to repeat it all. Just kidding. So is there interest on the board in even considering the special request?
And then we did. Go ahead.
Yeah, I so move.
Jim Madsen moves. Greg Leckie moves second.
Sure.
Greg Leckie second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, now you can respond. Oh, wait. Mr. Roberts?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is an example we were talking about earlier. The applicant here is the Housing and Community Development Division. You are on that.
Mm-hmm.
And as the organizational head of the applicant, the board practice is that you not participate as a board member in connection with this.
Okay.
So you and Ms. Kohler, here you could make presentations or provide information, but you shouldn't participate as a board member in connection with this. So you might need to turn the board over to Mr. Ellis, who I don't know if he's a former, if there's a designated co-chair. I know Mr. Ellis is one of the longest.
So be it. The chairman turns the board over to Mr. Ellis.
Is that a motion to adjourn?
Can I second the motion?
So you had a previous meeting and got approved.
Yeah, we did. All right. Leave, though.
Yeah. Not considering motions to adjourn, but thank you. Mike? Thank you for your presentation. Do you want to respond to
discussion and help?
Absolutely. Yeah, the idea behind this is that sand is going through the hourglass, and so we don't know all of the details. We haven't worked with the attorneys and have an actual opinion to the point where we can give guidance to counties or to AOGs or whoever for these funds. The idea of today's application is just to set aside 1.5 so that the initiative can if we don't get the special consideration in this meeting, then we'll probably come back as a regular application way for funding meetings, so on and so forth. And that's not helping the counties. So we thought we would at least just ask for that.
Will you clarify some things in the statute for me? At the very end, it talks about 63J4607, Resource Management Plan Administration. Mm-hmm. The office. Who is the office?
So the office is the Public Lands Policy Coordinating Office. Okay. In the governor's office.
All right. And the Commission for the Stewardship of Public Lands consists of?
That is a legislative board that is looking over public lands issues. They have been more involved with, I don't want to say RSC 477, but I think that type of work. The big contention with turning over federal lands over to the state is a big issue.
So that office has an appropriation to the extent money is available then to fund the lesser of half of the cost or $50,000.
Right.
So this application then is to help fund any difference above that.
Yeah, this application is it's a very interesting way that the bill was written because it requires counties to make a deposit to the public lands office to just show they have skin in the game. I think they resolved that. But when you go down and you talk to Wayne County and you say, I need you to write a check for basically $50,000, and we'll hold on to it, we'll give you whatever less in 27, that doesn't go. I don't think that would make sense.
And the statute is very specific that this will be with an outside private firm.
It does say
a resource management plan, right? Yeah. So your group will not be doing these other than perhaps reviewing and letting this money go then.
Mm-hmm. We see our role as, we've been supportive, building some training and tools and online things like that. We hope that we can help bring funds to the initiative. We'll provide support to counties, but us being the prime consultant to do that now. In fact, talking to most counties, the thing that I originally thought they would need with this is the science. This is the data that justifies the county's position. But with the timing, if you talk to the counties, none of them are thinking that they have time to go out and buy the science. What they really need help with is just the facilitation side of things. Just somebody to be the project manager in shop, in the house, and just write the thing down. And that's kind of what they need help with.
So what are the expected costs of these studies?
Well,
any field or a range? I realize every county is going to be very different.
Every county is very different.
From the cheap to the more expensive, how do you see that ranging?
When I talk to private sector consultants about this, they get very concerned when they see $50,000 because they say that's not even one staff, one resource I put on one county per year. And when you look at the number of issues that each county has, there are 27 different categories of the plan that have to be addressed and have to be addressed in a certain way. It also requires a level of expertise that a lot of counties don't have in-house. So I think that's kind of, it's going to be very tight. They will do, I think they will use the 50%. It's not going to be the, and it costs less than the 50% price. But if CIB came with another 50, I think that would be very easy to take as well.
Well, I'll speak as a rural county that has over 50% public land in it. And we know that we have a template of a resource management plan, but we don't have anything that would ever let us sit down with our public land managers and negotiate or what we call a consistency review relative to putting our position ahead of their position or coming to some compromise because we have a specific plan. $50,000 per county is not even close. And you know that when those public land entities do their plan, they're in the millions and they take several years. But I have no staff. I have no resource. Actually, I'm sort of it, if you will. And I would speak to this because I don't know where else to go. And the state legislature, when they passed that bill, put such high standard relative to 27 categories and their expectation on us, it's unrealistic for the amount of money they sort of appropriated for that effort. Plus, we don't even know if that's going to be directed directly to us. It's been given to the Office of Public Lands, and they're still trying to figure out what to do with it. And I know they've been in communication with USU to see if they can get some specialist help there, but they really don't even know where they're going. So at least this proposal lets us get off the ground, lets us get somebody that gives us some direction and gives us a resource to go to get going, because we only have a year. So I'm thinking in favor of this just because I don't know where else to go. It either had to be Six County or it has to be here. And if Six County isn't the good way to go, I mean, Six County could still go to them. On behalf of our six counties that share kind of the same concerns, and maybe we could consolidate our efforts together going to them, but there's got to be a place to go. And I think that's it.
Commissioner McKee.
I'm fully supportive of if we do a set aside. My biggest question I have, and I'm wondering if there's just some value even in the retreat, is maybe we could do the set aside, and unless we're needing it funded, as you know, actually funded today, but if we do a set aside, that I think there are some pluses and minuses either way. I think there's some very strong value of expertise to have there, but if we did the set aside. The area that I'm struggling with a little bit is the fact that there are 29 plans. I just question the ability to be able to detect the full 29 plans unless there is a some other method there where each of the AOGs could hire the different planners that's out there. And I believe the way the state legislation states this is under the state legislation, I believe the money that the legislature anticipated is the county, it goes to the county, but you have to spend it up front, and then it's reimbursable. And then we got to kind of tie that together somehow as well. As I said, I have absolutely, great confidence in your ability. My only problem is I question, without having it just be this plug-and-play box that fits, that doesn't give us the flex. And I'd like to have a little more discussion on that. That's just my...
I really appreciate that because I had the same concern. That was the first thing when this bill came out. They said, oh, well, I know what you'll be doing for the next year and a half, but I know our team cannot do the whole state. That's impossible. That's what we wanted the funds for, is so that the counties can go out and hire staff. Our team, if a county called us up and said, hey, will you be on our steering committee or panel of experts or something? Sure, we can help, but we don't see ourselves doing the work. That's why we need the funds. We know there are some, there's not a lot, but there are some private sector planners that are kind of built for this type of work, and that's what we see these funds to do.
And if that's the way we're doing it, I'm totally comfortable. I guess one thing, Tom, that I was just trying to be careful with is if the county, I guess just the buffer, or how do we do that in such a way so we don't get the offset for the guilt?
And I worry that it's my ignorance about how this bill operates and what it's supposed to do, but as discussions indicated, FLIPCO, the state agency, is supposed to hire a private entity to assist the counties with these plans. And that can't be this group, can't be the division. At the end of the process, to the extent the plans are approved, whatever the counties are supposed to put up half, up to $50,000 of the FDA cost. The county plan, and then that gets reimbursed by the state, which makes you think maybe it ought to be a loan, since the county's going to get paid back whatever they give to the flip cover. So I'm not sure what the division will be doing with this money, giving it to the county so the counties can give it to flip cover, hiring somebody else to do something for flip cover or for the counties. What this project is, so the board can say, yes, this is an eligible project.
That's why I'm wondering if it's very valuable if we get the set aside, and then we can, and I think if they could if that would be agreeable to have them come in and visit with us. Because here's what I anticipate happening is because of this requirement that the counties develop a plan, it seems to me if we want to have the flexibility, so we have an RFP that goes out. I know the state then talked about having some qualified contingent figures, but they wanted to have, RFP, trying to remember the term for it, but they're already pre-qualified. But if that's county initiated, we got to be real careful how we do that on field. And I guess that's why I just think some really good discussion might be valuable.
I totally agree. And that's why we didn't come, one of the attachments isn't our guidelines with all the rules we think it should be, because there are still some outstanding questions. We just were hoping to get some funds set aside to
clarification on these funds. These would be funds that would be available up front, not as a reimbursement basis, right?
Well, reimbursing eligible costs, like a regular student.
Does that create an issue for us to reimburse costs already expended?
I think what Mr. Hansen's talking about is the way that CIG projects are funded, which is the money all goes into a pot and it takes two signatures to get the money out, and they only pay out the money once the applicant says, we spent them.
But it's a commitment to the money up front, though, as opposed to
right. So I think that reimbursement is different. Commissioner
Adams.
Well, I know Claudia is going to be disappointed because I'm not going to talk about pulling the rock. I've got a couple of other.
The day is long, Bruce. I'm making promises.
So I guess one of my concerns, and it's probably a technical thing, are we fudging a little bit on eligible applicants with this whole thing? Is the planner group an eligible applicant for the money? Secondly, if these funds are expended to all 29 counties, I know all 29 counties aren't eligible applicants.
I think it'd have to go through an AOG.
For mineral release money. So, you know, let's assume we can get by all of that. Tom, you'll have to make sure. And so technically, if we set aside 1.5 and the legislature sets aside 1.5, each county is going to technically have a little over $100,000.
After they spend.
And so that was my other question. Does the county have to spend $100,000 to get reimbursement, or do they have to spend $50,000?
That was just on the state side.
Okay, just on the state side. And I guess maybe, Tom, if there is a problem with eligible applicants, maybe Mr. Smelling, maybe we can...
Bruce, I think on the eligible applicant, we're okay because it's a division of community and housing, which is an eligible applicant.
Okay. So we don't have to worry about the counties that are not producing being eligible applicants.
Well.
All right. I'm good. Maybe if that was a problem, maybe we could use estate money for the non-producing counties in a bigger portion and the CIB money for the producing counties in a bigger portion, and you can work your magic with the numbers somehow.
Legislation is 50,000 per county.
From the state.
Okay.
Ideally, though, that's what's
But I think in a practical sense, to try and get each county to update their plan is probably a really, really, really good thing, because I'm sure that most of the plans are lacking, and especially when it comes to a consistency review with federal agencies, as far as us trying to assert coordination or whatever we're trying to assert with those federal agencies, to say you need to have consistency with our plan, and if our plan isn't really that good, it's kind of a futile effort. So I like the idea of trying to update the plans if we can get by all of the minutia.
And I totally do. So there's not a question. I'm fully supportive of it. It's just how to do it. I would like to do the step side. And if I might, Jim, you know, Kane County was very involved in this process. Do you mind telling the group what your county paid to do a similar effort?
You know, when you asked me that question, you know, almost 6 weeks ago, I gave you an idea of what we've spent to date as we've gotten into this thing. In terms of the actual planning effort itself between the experts and also bringing our staff up to date and so on, we're not quite $200,000, but we put close to almost $400,000 into the total effort so that we can, in fact, figure out what it is we want to be doing on this thing. And there's, since you give me the floor, there's a huge opportunity with this, as we've mentioned, in terms of coordination and consistency with the federal plan. And for the first time, we've got the means by which we've got a spot at the table, and we can say, hey, wait a minute now, here's what's in our local plans. You must work out these differences, as such. So we're not really looking for planners per se. We're looking for the kind of expertise that can deal with the resource issues that need to be put into our plans in such a fashion that you can argue the whole range of things from sage grouse, watersheds, the whole works. And so we need that flexibility. And in some cases, if the division is going to be involved in it, we'll certainly call upon the division to help, you know, in one aspect of it. But I don't think our county needs to have the planner, you know, that kind of capability. So as we sort this out and retreat and we have the set-aside for it, I think this is going to give us the ability to deal with some things that otherwise wouldn't get done with the current legislation. And so it's very important.
Okay, Keith, you have a comment?
No.
Okay, we covered it.
Well, and again, even though the legislation called out 27 different categories, it seems overwhelming. As I look at the list, there are probably five out of that that I would really want to focus on that really are critical to my town. It's, you know.
Well, we have turned in five that are critical for our town.
Yeah, so.
And Flipco has indicated, oh, wow, that looks, you know, really workable.
So we don't have to do all 27. Yeah. If we could get some help just for those very specific ones that we have the most issue with.
So unique to your county,
unique.
Not necessarily
across,
you know, coming out of the
and that's credit. What this would offer, I think. Yeah. That's what's different with this than the state. The state's 27.
So this division needs to be in a position to hold our hands and help us through this process as well. So I've got a question in that regard. You're not anticipating any overhead charges against the million. All right, we'll work with you.
You may want to rethink that before you commit to that. Because the federal will always charge over 20%.
We're going to talk to you.
I'm getting a consensus from the board here that maybe our approach ought to be looking at more of a set-aside and then trying to work some of the details out on how this is functioning, how the money passes through to make sure we're not impacting our PILT monies or anything else. But
okay. Well, Jim says that they've spent over $300,000 so far. If they get $100,000 back, where's the rest of the money? Who's paying for the rest of it?
Well, you know, I heard a number earlier. Some counties could spend as much as $1 million. I believe that. You know, so I think anything that we can do is going to help us add this up to that total. But we're just nearly halfway done with the plans that we've already spent this money on. We've got to build the next step. That includes some key issues that some of you have already dealt with, but our county needs to catch up on this.
And
so we'll use all of the resources that are available to us, including exterior financing. But we're going to complete our county plan so that we've got this done in a massive fashion. Thank you, Mr.
And I think as a board, we need to be cognizant, do we want to pay that total cost for the counties, or looking for the counties to have skin in the game, and we're helping to supplement what the state has with some additional monies to help them through this important process.
Some are skinned off. I mean, have no skin.
Yeah.
We've been skinned.
Well, and I heard one county say, you know, if we have to come up with a $50,000, we're not in a position to do that.
Yeah.
So I think there's different counties
that
have different abilities.
I just want to speak one more issue, and it has to do we do set aside or do we fund it? And I'm going to speak to just automatically funding it for this reason. One, we can set it aside, but then we still have to come back and approve it. So for me, as if we fund it now, then we're saying the money's there. It's just the details that have to be worked out. And in such time as those guidelines and working with BOCO and all of that is worked out, then the money can start to flow. Because as you said, we're under huge timeline. I mean, we're already almost through June. This is June, so why one? So I'm just saying, I think if we fund it now, we can get going. I mean, details that we're talking about, discussion that we need, that can still happen, and it should happen, so this office has guidelines. But if we just put it as a set-aside, then it still can't, the money can't flow. And so I would speak to actually funding that with the details to come through that office.
And you know, I really appreciate your passion, and frankly, I agree with the aspect, the sooner we get the money out on the ground, the better we are. The reason that I would suggest that we set it aside and maybe suspend the fund next month is just simply, who are we funding? Is it best to fund it here? Is it best to do it through the AOGs? And a little bit on the tilt, I think there's just, I mean, I don't, if we want to just say we set it aside and we commit to fund it, I'm not sure what's the best way to do that yet. That's my
Mike, opinion. We don't have a meeting next month.
It's on our calendar.
Yeah.
We won't be there, but we do have a meeting.
You know, having some first-hand knowledge of this, we've gone round and round. I met with the AOG directors, what we met them last week. They don't know what to do. You do have rural-urban issues. You have counties that, and AOGs that have tremendous need for this. You have others that are saying, we really don't want anything to do with this. It's all over the board. What this does give this board and each and every county is some flexibility to meet the needs, whatever they may be. You know, this is the only way that we found in looking at this for 4 or 5 months now that gives this board flexibility with your funding as well as some control over your funding. You know, if you give some, you know, you give the same amount to each AOG, that's not a good solution here. If you have every county trying to come in, that's not going to be a good solution. I mean, this just seems like really the only solution. And is it perfect? It is not perfect, but it's as close as you're going to get with, as Commissioner McKee said, a bill that has some language that's difficult to work with.
Other discussion?
I think the set-aside idea makes sense to start. I can almost assure you that by the time we get into it, whether it's AOGs, individual counties, or through the division, or even what Glencore ends up doing with it, we'll be back talking about this again in 6 months or so. So we ought to do that start. We ought to have the debate, you know, during the retreat and the thing, and get our arms around this.
And then separately?
Well, you can always loan it out first.
So are you saying fund now or to set aside and do a suspended fund at a near meeting in the near future?
The latter.
So the chair will entertain a motion then.
I'll second Mr. McKee's motion.
Did you make a motion?
My motion would be that we set the money aside today. Here is the question I do have though, because this gets back to the, do we have the ability to meet somewhere in July?
We do, we are, we're scheduled.
Yeah, that's how we work.
On July 2nd.
And I would like, if we could, put this on agenda with the ability to suspend the fund in July.
So we have a motion, we have a second. Do we have any discussion to that motion?
I guess I'm not necessarily against that, Mike, but if we do fund it right now, it encourages the counties to move forward with
working on it. My only question is, who are you funding? No, are we going to fund Rural Planning Group, or are we going to fund AOG?
How are you
going
to fund
the community development?
Right.
But they're just going to work.
There are some counties that are already working and already
incurring costs.
You know, and there are some that are waiting to see if they're going to have the money, you know, before they start moving. I'd hate to not encourage them to get going right now because they're waiting to see if they're going to get funded.
And Bruce, I totally agree with that. In fact, in the meetings in Salt Lake, and Candace will tell you, I wanted this to be funded in May. Yeah. I wanted to be able to fund it today for the very reasons that you are stating. But I just think there's some unanswered questions here a little bit yet. But, you know, if we can go ahead and if there's a way that we can have enough individual contracts that go out there, Mike, if you can assure me that we can do this in such a way that we can do a number of different plans going on simultaneously through your, if we can do that.
That was our intent, was just to be able to advertise there are funds available here. And the detailed guidelines of, you know, what a reimbursement looks like and all that, I would have to work with.
And Jim knows this. When we were having this discussion in a small state committee, that was just the concern we were talking about, was we wanted to have flexibility because we didn't want to have a one-size-fit-all, we plug and play. If we can build into that flexibility, I'm all for this, because that's the very thing I've been arguing for myself.
Yes.
I just want it to be done very, very strong. We have a very good, tight plan. If we have that flexibility, I'd second your motion. Yeah, I'd second your motion.
So staff, you're comfortable that you can work through details on this and make everybody happy. You don't want only eight happy and one not. Because remember, one of us lives in Salt Lake County.
Am I the only one? Yeah.
We won't get much out of this, but that's okay. I don't care about that.
Can I make a substitute motion?
We have a substitute motion then.
Do we fund it now?
Substitute motion to fund now. Is there a second? We have a second from Commissioner Jarrett. Any discussion to the substitute motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Nope.
No. Council.
I go back to the question I originally raised with regards to what this project is. It has to be either planning, construction, maintenance, public facilities, providing public services. What are you funding?
Planning.
Are they going to do this?
No.
The division going to do this?
No.
The planning. So you are creating a pass-through of mineral lease money.
We do that all the time with planning. They come and ask for a planning grant, but then they hire some outside people to come and do their
plans
for them. We've done that all the time.
But I'm not sure that the board can solve the tilt problem by giving mineral lease monies to some state agency who then gives it to a county. Because that's still mineral lease money going to the county, which might in fact trigger the tilt.
If we pay the county's contractor.
The invoices would go through it, specific to this, what they were funding the project.
Could we do this? Could we fund it pending legal review? That we would get the plan, make sure.
I don't know what it is. Because I don't know what the money's going to go for. Is it just going to go to the county? Is it just going to go to the county planner? Is it going to provide other services?
Can't
is it
going to
provide statewide experts? Why is the Housing and Community Development Division doing this? It's going to be their money. It's no longer going to be the board money. It's going to be the division money that they will be passing out as division receiving mineral lease money. So, they're not acting as your agent here with regard to performing impact board duties necessarily.
Would we be better, Tom, than doing what we talked earlier and spend some time on this on our retreat so that it becomes very clear what we...
I would probably recommend to you that you firm up, unless you all know what it is, and I'm the only one who doesn't, firm up what, if the project is, how the money's going to be used, because there is a problem, it's a state problem, and it's nice to impact board jump in and say we'll try and fix it, but don't know if they're going to fix it.
So what we are funding is a county resource management plan. The same way we just funded a city hall or a park improvement. We don't necessarily approve that you are funding one swing set, one slide, one teeter totter. You're funding a park. Here we're funding a county resource management plan. That's it.
That's it.
Can we even call it something different, a state resource management plan that will affect all counties? Because I think we've got to be a little careful on that tilt thing again.
The division can't give you back that plan. They're not creating the plan.
No.
And the plan is going to have to be worked through and approved by TILT Co.
Can the county get the money back and it's just a bonus?
Yeah, and if they do get approval, then the TILT Co in theory reimburses the county for the monies that they've expended, which may or may not be that money through this particular project.
Or I don't get comfortable with that. We'll end up with TILT offset.
Do we have the ability to recess today and then reconvene tomorrow after our marathon discussion about this and retreat?
We noticed the meeting.
Yeah.
And we noticed through tomorrow.
Yes, the TILT policy
The policy meeting is noticed, yes.
So we're meeting today as well until we adjourn tomorrow sometime.
Right.
So we could recess from this meeting and then come back into a decision.
That's on the agenda, but the RPG is on the agenda.
So we could recess this portion of it until tomorrow?
Recess this portion. That may be a good
Okay.
So we're going to have a pending list?
Actually, it's not pending, so I think we
just kind of table it on
the discussion until we can deal with this after some more further discussion before we adjourn. We'll try to deal with the issue.
So, you need a motion for the gentleman for that?
Let's have a motion to table.
Do we need to make motion? The motion that's on the table?
Does anybody want to withdraw their motion that's on the table?
I'll withdraw my amended motion.
I'll withdraw mine.
We have withdrawn the original motion. So now we have no motions on the table.
I make a motion to table it until further notice.
A second from Ron. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I turn the meeting back over to our chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Thank you, everyone. Quickly, we had some procedural issues with, I believe, item number 11, Roosevelt City. I appreciate counsel's advice on that matter and the concerns expressed by Mr. Jarrett. There is some precedent with his board motioning and seconding projects in their regions and districts and such. So I certainly see the point. It's something that we grapple with all the time, Commissioner McKee. But we want every board member to feel comfortable with what they're doing and what they've done. So, Commissioner Winterton, if you would like to revisit item number 11.
I second the motion that was made, so we would just need a second on that.
You would draw your second?
I made the original motion, which I'd like to keep.
Okay. So we have a motion from Commissioner McKee.
I second that, his motion.
Nagy second. And all in favor?
Aye.
And I believe the other one that was in question was number 12, Fairview City. Commissioner Jarrett expressed concern that she was the second. You withdraw your second. Commissioner Winterton?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
I think I also seconded on number 14.
Thank you. You're withdrawing your second.
I would like to mention it 3 years ago.
That is absolutely true, not to mention 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So the second for Helper City is now Bruce Adams. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone else have any concerns about their project? Well, let us recess.